Recorded Books and RB Digital present Long Time Gone by Mary Keneally. Narrated by Barbara McCullough. Chapter 1. Skull Gulch, New Mexico Territory, November 1880. Abandoning his sister to save his brother, Justin Bowden felt as gut-shot as coal. He left Heath Kincaid behind to find his little sister Sadie, feeling as though he were tearing himself in half to make that choice. But he only had minutes to get his big brother home to stop the bleeding and tend his wound. Still, leaving her behind went against everything he knew about caring for his family. No, Cole's words were slurred. Sadie. He drooped forward until he almost lay on his horse's neck. Justin gritted his teeth. The outlaw who had gotten a bullet into Cole was tied over his saddle, its reins tied to Cole's horse. But Sadie was missing. So Justin had to ask if there was more than one villain chasing them. Justin grabbed the reins out of Cole's hands and turned up the trail. Leading two horses, one with his wounded brother, trailed by one with the unconscious outlaw, forced Justin forward. The trail was too narrow to look back. Cole didn't have long. If the gut shot was a bad one, it might already be too late. Sadie was missing, and if the man they'd taken prisoner wasn't alone, killers might be on her trail, or have her even now. Even King Solomon would have a hard time deciding what to do about this. Turning his back on Sadie was like cleaving himself in two. But he did it, and then pushed hard up the trail for home. Only a few more minutes and he could get Cole inside. If he'd been gut shot, and that's what it looked like, they couldn't save him. It nearly drove Justin mad to think of it. The trail twisted and turned. It bent so it went alongside the mountain, then headed up a while until it got so steep it was impossible to climb, then it wound off sideways again to another spot they could climb. It was narrower and steeper with every step, until on some of the sideways stretches, one of Justin's booted feet was in a stirrup dangling over a dead drop, while on the other side, he could have reached out a hand and brushed the mountainside. He came to a place the trail had caved off. He sure hoped his horse knew how to walk on tiptoes. Justin prayed for all he was worth as he passed the narrow spot. One more steep stretch, and finally he skylined himself at the top of the mountain. A gale of wind hit him and warned of cold weather coming in. Northern New Mexico in November could be wretchedly cold, or it could be pleasant. It was picking this moment to be nasty. He hung silhouetted against the clouds, then dropped down. He was stunned to see the ranch house right at the bottom of the hill. Oh, he knew the hill all right, covered with heavy woods, steep enough to make a mountain goat faint. But he'd never thought of it as hiding a trail. In his lifetime, he'd never used it nor seen Pa use it. Far below in the ranch yard, someone charged out on horseback and galloped for Skull Gulch. Two men had ridden with him besides his family. He'd sent them ahead fast, with orders to run for the doctor. Justin descended quickly, buffeted by a bitter wind that had been blocked on the uphill side of the trail. This downhill side was as steep as the uphill and just as heavily wooded. Justin followed a badly overgrown trail. John Hightree, the Cimarron Ranch foreman, ran out of the barn. John had been with the ranch since before Justin's birth, and Justin trusted the man with his life. Justin yelled, "I need help with Cole, and someone bring this varmint we caught inside and leave him tied up." Justin didn't have time now to give their prisoner another thought. Rosita, their housekeeper, who'd grown up on the CR, stepped out of the house, took everything in at a glance, and got very serious. Considering the amount
Sample complete. Ready to continue?